Fly down, rainbows in the sky, let's fly away. Like a bird, you're free to see the boundless face of the earth. Let the wind blow you like...
Hello everyone, and welcome back to Destructo Discourse. It's a Dragon Ball Z rewatch podcast. I am your host, Tyler. Joining the discourse tonight is Gordy.
How's it going?
Jason.
Hey.
Melissa.
Hello.
And Matt.
Howdy.
We got the other crew. Plus Jason still.
The other crew.
I've been hiding in your overhead compartment.
What have you guys been up to in the meantime? A lot of Dragon Ball stuff?
I did so much Dragon Ball stuff.
You've probably been fairly infused with Dragon Ball.
I'm inundated by Dragon Ball.
Yes, the Dragon Ball juices just, oh.
I'm sorry?
Too much Dragon Ball juice.
Drenched in it.
Yeah.
The kids are calling it Dragon Ball juice, and it's causing quite a stir. Kids these days are calling it walking the dragon.
Walking the dragon?
Yeah, it's a dangerous habit.
That sounds...
They're going out there, they're collecting orbs, they're making wishes to ancient spirits. Someone's getting immortal.
Is this sexual in nature?
I would hope not.
It sounds like it from walking the dragon.
Isn't that like a yo-yo trick?
Walking the dog, I think, is where you make it like roll along the floor. Why would it be walking the dragon?
Walking the dragon is when you make the yo-yo grant you a wish.
Yeah,
exactly.
You get seven of them and you unleash all of them and wish on them.
You're just spinning seven yo-yos off of your hands.
One for each finger plus additional fingers that you've had surgically grafted to your limbs in order to wield all seven carefully.
Wait, how many fingers do you have?
How many am I supposed to have?
You give me the baseline.
I just got worried.
I'll tell you if it's over or under.
It's The Price is Right, but with fingers. My brain decided not to include the other hand. Maybe I just decided to really like narrow it down to just to the one hand.
You're going super pro.
Yeah, well, like that way I can hold my phone in my other hand because you know
you can record yourself while you're doing it to prove that you did it.
Exactly.
You can do kickflips with your tech deck while you're wishing on your Dragon Balls. Gordy, the sexual party that you were thinking of is when you put all of your Dragon Balls in a basket and then you fuck each other.
Yeah, I mean, that's another way to do
it. Is it like a key swapping party?
That was the joke, yeah.
Okay. You just have to have a Dragon Ball, I guess. It's really the only barrier to entry.
Yeah. Only the best of the best.
It seems worse overall. Like, just a poorer use of a Dragon Ball.
Is that...
I mean...
Seven balls, one dragon? Is that...
No.
Well, we were trying to find something to talk about
recording. I'm sorry. I didn't know this is where we were going.
Oh, we're going Super Saiyan Blue today.
Mm-hmm. The train has arrived where it has.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's transition naturally to talking about tabletop board games.
Yes.
Yeah, let's see.
Speaking of sex, tabletop games.
Speaking of key parties, wouldn't it be cool if Dragon Ball Z was a board game?
I'd play a DBZ board game.
What would it take to get you to sit down at a table?
Virtually nothing.
Oh? Character sheets.
Like, do you mean a board game or a miniatures game or a tabletop or like what?
Let's combine a miniatures and a tabletop RPG.
Okay.
Okay.
I've got an idea. The DBZ tabletop game... When you manage to land a hit, you don't roll damage. So the game comes with an attachment that is a microphone, and you have to do a real big holler into it, and the damage is calculated based on the decibels and length of sustaining that you have for the big old holler.
Yeah,
so you might be able to get them all in one if you've got the pipes.
So each attack would take about as long as it takes on the show, because an audio professional would have to analyze it in real time.
Yes, yeah. It's very expensive, the startup costs.
9 out of 10 neighbors say, very good board game, love it.
But it is a huge barrier to entry, yes.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, you've got, if you don't have the lung, if your diaphragm is all askew. You can do the smaller attacks like the huh and the ha. Yeah, exactly. And then you charge up that ha ha.
I mean,
that's your daily,
I think,
is what I'm saying.
I think there is absolutely, like, there's a miniatures game you could do that is just like, I mean, like, it has to be a fight.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, what else is it going to be? It has to be, like, a fight between...
They're not going to fucking talk about their problems in this
right,
show.
Right, like, two or several, like, two or more characters. And I guess you do, like, the Warhammer thing where you get out, like, the measuring tapes. And there's,
God.
Like, terrain and stuff you can blow up. And I get, like, the beams have rules for how they travel and how much damage they do or whatever.
Yeah, you need to you need to bring a lot of styrofoam orbs, some tubing.
I mean, the thing, like, if they made a miniatures game where I only had to buy, like, 10 dudes slash women slash androids slash other, that would
slash
be great.
Dog cops.
Because, like, I totally would... Right, slash
the Hoverhound expansion.
Like, I would play tabletop miniature games if it wasn't an endlessly deep rabbit hole.
I like the idea of a terrain-based tabletop game that involves you buying 10 miniatures total, but the rest of that money is dedicated towards, like, rebuilding and rebuying turf that keeps getting continuously blown up during war games.
That's
where
they make their money, is from mountains.
Yep.
That's where they get you. Yeah, mm-hmm. You have to have, like, all the different kinds of mountain and waterfall and...
Trees.
Holes in the ground. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be great.
You gotta have at least 3 world tournament stages because one will get blown up.
I mean, really, the game store should probably buy all that and just bill you after every match.
Right. You also need the wild animal expansion. For all of your, like, dinosaurs and saber-toothed tigers and sea creatures.
Just for flavor.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
And for filler fights.
Because that's what I enjoy when I go in for a D&D game. Oh, it's a filler day,
filler episode.
Hey, the filler fights serve a very important purpose in D&D, which is give the DM more time to think of what you're really supposed to be doing.
Give the DM more time to think, and also open up the stage for some off-the-wall, complete nonsense clown shoes improv.
The single best tool in, like, the DM's toolbox is a well-timed bathroom break.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take a minute... And go in there
to
and
reorganize
like,
the plot.
Get like, shit, why did they have to do this? What are they going to do next? Right. I don't know.
Now, I've never played a miniature game myself. I've never gotten into that. But as far as I know, it's uncouth to go to war with an unpainted army, correct?
The only miniature tabletop game I got into was HeroQuest, which I was a mm-hmm. big fan of.
Yeah.
And I never actually painted those figures because... A, I didn't know you were supposed to, and B, it felt like I was breaking them, you know? Like, this is how they came.
Right. This doesn't have room for extra mods.
Can I suggest a mechanic for this Dragon Ball miniatures game?
Yeah.
If you want to power up to a new transformation, you need to repaint the figure in real time. So that's your power-up time.
In some cases, even re-sculpt some of the hair.
Exactly.
And that is, that is, I guess, how you charge up energy?
Yeah, because you can't
just
do
in
it
general.
Immediately.
Yeah.
You gotta wait for the paint to dry.
If you want Goku to go Kaioken, you gotta paint him with, like, a red hue a little bit.
Right. Well, a lot of these powers are tied to emotional shock, so in some some expansions, the rule requires the player to be physically stabbed in order to trigger the transformation.
A loved one must be murdered in order for you to go Super Saiyan.
Mm-hmm.
This is a pretty good game.
Shaping up pretty well.
Get-out-of-jail-free cards that come in a box.
Someone,
like, no,
someone
officer,
call...
you don't understand.
Someone call up Games Workshop.
And when a character dies, you just put, like, a twisty halo over their head.
Anyway. When a character dies, you put them on a tiny planet and you flip an hourglass.
Yeah.
You just sculpt a little halo out of a pipe cleaner.
Yeah, and flip the timer, and then they come back into play once the timer runs out, because death is not real.
It's an inconvenience at worst.
It's a cooldown.
Yeah.
You do have to scrape the paint off after the power-up attack.
To go back to base. Time.
Yeah.
Well, so I was thinking you would just repaint it, and you just have layers and layers
and
of paint on this tiny miniature.
Horrifying strata.
Eventually, it's just an orb.
You have to paint on wounds and injuries.
You have
rips,
to paint on
rips
tiny
and tears in
mark.
The armor. Yeah.
Veteran players, their characters don't even look like the character anymore. It's just a blob of paint.
He's just surrounded with energy. He's just got the Kaioken. It's a very amoebic spirit bomb happening.
You can't always have the Kaioken, okay? It costs mana.
Are you a Kaioken or a Kaiokant? Come on.
What if it was a special paint that, like, wore off as you touched it? So that, like, there was just kind of a built-in timer on how long you could be powered up. Of, like, anytime you moved the figure.
Ooh, like a heat-activated paint?
Yeah. And then...
You gotta rub on your little Goku in order for him to go Kaioken.
And we've come full circle.
Need to breathe.
Do you guys remember those dinosaur toys that if you put them in water, they would change?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if we did that?
Oh, man, so I would love like a little Goku.
We would be rich,
that's why. Dunk his in warm water.
For the Cybermen?
Well, no, it would be less about painting the character and more about, well, he's in the healing tank right now. And when he comes out, okay. He'll be a Super Saiyan.
I mean, I think that is probably a valuable addition to this game.
Mm-hmm.
It will require you to have, like, a tank of water on hand.
This game already requires a lot. I don't think that's going to be too much of a big deal.
Well, we just kind of had to use what we had, so we just kind of had him healing, quote-unquote, in a solo cup full of Red Bull.
Well, I would buy this game, but it's because it has Dragon Ball on the cover.
True. Really, that's all
yeah.
it takes for
me. It's really not hard to get me.
I don't need a lot of... I mean, I spent money on this starter deck.
For a discontinued game.
Yeah, for a game that is no longer supported.
And you are no longer alone in that.
Yes.
Well, how about we talk about the episodes this week?
Episodes of,
I'd love
episodes
to.
Of what?
Episodes of the hit anime Dragon Ball Z.
Never heard of it.
You still in my gimmick?
I've been watching Yu Yu Hakusho all this time.
You guys are gone for 2 weeks and you forgot about hit anime Dragon Ball Z?
To the what, the Ball Z?
Every episode of this podcast, we watch 3 episodes of hit anime Dragon Ball Z from Japan.
Oh, I've heard of that.
And then we talk about them. This week, we are watching episodes 64, 65, and 66. The English title of episode 64 is Raccoon Unleashed.
The Japanese title is something I personally would love to get tattooed on me somewhere. Because it translates roughly to Bizarre Raccoon, Bad, Strong, and Outrageous.
Truly?
The Japanese Truly. Titles are, like, week after week much better.
A little bit. It's really good. I will make a note here that when I plonked the Japanese characters into Google Translate, as per my meticulous research process, it mistranslated Raccoon's name. Instead of Bizarre Raccoon, he was referred to as Bizarre Requiem.
Ooh, I like that better.
A little bit.
That's the next JoJo's Bizarre series.
Yeah, it's kind of like a secret boss in some like half-forgotten JRPG from your childhood.
This episode begins with Raccoon going up to bat against Vegeta, but he lets Krillin and Gohan know that they can jump in anytime they want. He doesn't mind fighting all three of them.
It's no problem.
It was a lovely growling standoff.
That we've come to know and love.
Yeah.
I asked you this when we were watching it, but mm-hmm. I'll open it up to the floor. Is this, like, this one-on-one agreement that they keep making, is this an anime-specific thing?
I feel like it derives from kung fu films.
Yeah.
Which I think is very reasonable, but I'm, because like they do this thing throughout the show, I think, but certainly these fights where they kind of agree like, oh no, I'll take him.
Mm-hmm.
And like Raccoon says like, well, I don't mind fighting all three of you, but like he gives permission.
But he
to
is
do
the
it.
One that's fighting right now.
Yes.
Right. It's like, Well, it's probably just a largely a product of just cockiness. It's like, we're going to kill them all anyway. The who's and what sits the order, it doesn't matter so much.
I will say that it makes more sense to me in this show than in some other anime. Just
really?
Just based on the the said cockiness of every character in this show.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Like, everyone craves a one-on-one fight, and they don't really care if it means they'll die.
Well, that's the case with, I like the Kung Fu film analogy, because that's essentially what Dragon Ball derived from, wasn't it? Like, Toriyama's love of, like, martial arts films. So, like, that really sticks, for sure.
We learn that Vegeta picked up yet another trick on Earth, which is suppressing his full power level.
Cool.
This takes Raccoon by surprise, and he gets battered around for a little bit.
He gets a So Long Gay Bowser hammer throw by the leg. It's really good.
He has a strong opening volley, which he punctuates with a very large beam, and Raccoon gets a fabulous dust clearing.
Oh, yes.
Oh, the best.
That's a strong pose.
He handles being blown up with grace and aplomb.
Top 10 anime dust clearing?
It's in there, for sure.
It's a good one, yeah. For sure, yeah.
My thought in this sequence was, I was thinking that maybe what Vegeta was doing was some kind of unnamed proto-Final Flash.
he's cooking it up right now.
It could be.
And then he brings them together.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He brings it all home.
Just didn't yell it.
It's true. That means it's not real.
Raccoon is very banged up looking, but he doesn't seem to mind. Like, his attire is in tatters now.
He has a lot of HP.
He does.
I think that's one of my favorite parts of this whole Raccoon versus everyone, is that he takes a lot of damage, but it doesn't show. I mean, it shows, but, like, he's still smiling the whole time.
Yeah, his clothing takes damage. It's hard to tell if he is even feeling it.
His clothing and his hair, like, I feel like that's a health meter, because it goes from, like, full-on top, carrot top everything to, like, it just works its way into a mohawk.
Also his teeth.
Yes.
Yeah.
That
well, slowly loses it.
That one is a lot of, like, if you want to play this tabletop as Raccoon, you will do a lot of repainting.
Yeah. Yes, because his teeth fall out and regrow in from shot to shot in this show.
Do they regrow?
Horrifying.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Between episodes, looking. They definitely do.
Raccoon.
They were not consistent. I mean, that's fine. That's annoying to try and keep track of, like, these five teeth.
Raccoon is a big dude, and there are a lot of, like, just a lot of bits of him to get blown off.
He is a boss with a lot of armor.
Yeah.
He's a contra boss.
Yeah, he has just many, like, many pieces that can be chipped away from him.
But the problem is that Vegeta is not even close to doing any real damage, because Raccoon is neither flashing yellow or red.
And was this, just to make sure I'm in the right spot, is this was his little hi moment?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which was, I watched in both English and Japanese, and it's possibly the most accurate dub performance. It was very true to its source material.
Stay
and just warmed my heart.
Pitch perfect recreation.
Mm-hmm.
Did you talk about the voices for the Ginyu Squad?
I was going to ask about that before we go any further. Melissa, you seemed to have thoughts on the the Stallone impression.
Oh, boy.
Specifically Raccoon's voice, please.
Yeah. Give us the gossip.
Well, I mean, I just had opinions.
You're saying it doesn't hold up to the test of time?
Well, I believe I said Raccoon's voice is a mix of Andre the Giant, Sylvester Stallone, and just problematic.
That more or less sums it up.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're saying that's a bad thing.
I also compared Ginyu's voice actor to sounding like Frasier's dad.
There's no eggs on the Ginyu Force. It's a missed opportunity.
Mm-hmm. No, Raccoon to me always just sounded like he was kind of swirling a half a serving of cottage cheese back in there somewhere. With each line.
He's just gargling it throughout.
Yeah, he just switches it from cheek to cheek between lines.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely an interesting choice, because in the Japanese and in the alternate dub timelines, he doesn't really have a remarkable voice. Like, it's just a guy.
He's just kind of vaguely sinister sounding, right? He's just like, ha! Like, alright.
Yeah, so somebody made some choices, and, you know, that's what art is all about.
It is.
Yeah, this is definitely catching me by surprise, because I grew up with Ocean Dub Raccoon, which was different, way different.
Yeah.
I honestly don't remember him. It's been
I had to look it up because I remember preferring the ocean one.
Yeah, he just had like, he just talked like, he had like a deep resonant voice, but he, you know, he just had, you know, proper diction.
yeah, I remember everything was very well pronounced for some reason.
I will say vis-a-vis the Funimation choice on the Raccoon voice, with the release of Kai, they did have the opportunity to change voice actors, and they did not. So they have maintained said choice.
Double down.
yeah.
They have decided that, yes, this is what we want Raccoon to be. Ginyu is flying back to Frieza. He's juggling the Dragon Balls as he goes, just to pass the time, I guess.
Right before we cut to this scene, Krillin says, "It's gonna take a miracle to keep to ensure our victory here," or something like that. And immediately we cut to Ginyu juggling Dragon Balls.
and dropping one.
Yes.
Yep.
Nearly losing one.
This scene was clearly made, start to finish, to fuck with us. and I am here for it.
Back at Frieza's ship, Frieza is double-checking that Namek has no value to him outside of the Dragon Balls.
See,
and he...
I think he'd want to do this earlier.
before fucking it up?
I mean, like, he's doing it before destroying it, but yes. Is that not, like, a thing you do as soon as you land?
Well, some people don't do their homework until they're in class waiting for the bell to ring.
Yeah.
Maybe Zarbon did it. And he saved the file somewhere, but now Frieza can't find it, so he had to do it himself.
Frieza's game of No Man's Sky would be quite a treat to behold. he's got blow-up planet keybound.
Frieza does decide to blow it up when he's done, and to write his name in lights across the galaxy. And one of his henchmen asks, "You're joking, right?" And Frieza's like,
"Fucking serious?
My man, I literally never joke. it is not what I do."
Do you know who you're working for? Have you been through onboarding, my dude?
Back at the Raccoon fight, we get to see one of Raccoon's favorite little moves, the Raccoon kick.
I love that moment.
It is
bless
a kick.
Bless anyone who just names a move, just them and the thing they do.
Their
this
name
is my
plus,
kick.
Plus action. Mm-hmm. What makes a Raccoon kick different than a normal kick?
Raccoon
the one
does
that Raccoon
it.
Does.
Like, is it just that? Yeah. Just it is Raccoon's kick.
Yeah,
yeah.
I always thought this moment was Raccoon actually having some like sort of self awareness, like just kind of messing around with Vegeta. like, mm-hmm. oh, here comes a big move. It's one of my favorites. but it's just a kick.
It's
to
a
the face.
Kick.
and if I remember right, it was more of a knee. It wasn't really a kick at all.
It's a surprise. You're expecting a foot and you get a kneecap instead.
Anyone naming attacks, you're getting dangerously close to magical girl territory.
mm-hmm.
Is there a Sailor Jupiter kick?
Have you seen his pose?
I believe there's a Sailor V kick. There's also a Sailor Moon kick. Yes, that is an attack in the comic. So, yes.
And how are those different?
Probably the color of the sparkles. It's the color of the sparkles.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, because Sailor Moon, you're getting more of a pink, and Venus is going to give you more of an orange or possibly like a gold.
That's on brand. Mm-hmm.
Gordy, do you have a card called Orange Venus Kick?
There is no Orange Venus Kick. There are a couple that pertain to this situation.
This fight?
Yeah. I mean, at some point, Vegeta does like a power-up, right?
Yeah.
Well, I do. There's a couple that I missed. There's three specifically with Goldo on it.
you did miss out on Goldo.
Yeah, the neck beam, the blue neck beam, is depicted on one of these cards that kills Goldo.
It was a chop.
Goldo?
Yeah.
No, the beam
they,
goes
they
through
call
his
it
neck.
A beam?
I guess. it is labeled as blue neck beam.
Okay. Okay, Panini.
and there is a picture of, like, a blue beam going through his neck.
Neck beam sounds like a weird, like, DBZ way of saying neck beard.
would this be a good time to point out that in the Japanese version, Raccoon, and I believe the other Ginyu Warriors, call Vegeta-chan.
Interesting.
Are you serious?
Yes.
They use the little honorific that you'd use for like a third grader?
Yes, they do.
Because he's a small child.
Aww. That's a good burn. Prince of all Saiyans, indeed.
We get to see now some of the damage to Raccoon's pajamas that Vegeta's big blast did, and there's a little butthole flap.
Yeah!
He just does not care.
He's hanging it all out for us to see.
Ventilation, baby.
Vegeta and Raccoon are fighting in midair, and Raccoon gives Vegeta a little Raccoon boom into the lake below. Just like an elbow drop.
I love this.
And he tells Vegeta he's all washed up.
And he thinks it's the funniest joke in the world.
I think Raccoon thinks everything is the funniest joke in the whole world. Because that fool has not stopped chuckling, like, just barely audible chuckles the entire episode. You'll just hear, like...
And while that splash that Vegeta makes, before any of that splashed water even hits the ground, Krillin has given up on Vegeta.
Yes.
I mean, that's pretty standard for Krillin, right?
Now this is...
That is some Olympic Krillin... timing depression on Krillin.
Krillin's argument at this point is that no one should do anything. Because no one can beat them. Not just like, oh, Gohan, we shouldn't attack them because we're not strong enough. It is nobody should do anything about this.
Stand still and maybe they won't see you.
Yeah.
Just hear me out, guys. Let's all just stop moving. Let's all just stop breathing. And maybe the animators will stop drawing us and we'll go away.
Maybe everything will just cease to exist.
What if we just embrace the void?
Vegeta gets a sneaky counterattack out of the water. He blasts straight into Raccoon's guts, punching him over and over again.
Is it? Mm. Is it his guts that he's punching?
It's guts area.
Okay.
Is it guts adjacent?
It looked a little low to me.
Maybe.
Oh.
If what you're surmising is true, that makes his smile a little creepier.
Well, we're also assuming that anatomically things are the same as a typical human.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck Raccoon is, even. Yeah. He's space guy.
That's the freakiest shit. Like, he looks like a human fighter you'd see in Dragon Ball, but he's an alien.
That's a very good observation. I didn't even question it, but yeah, he's not human.
It's like, what are you doing here?
He's just human-like in every way.
He doesn't even have green eyes.
No, that's how we know.
Maybe he is... Could he be from some kind of race that, like, imitates others? And that explains the voice. Like, they gave him, like, a picture and sort of a description of what humans look and sound like, and that was his, like, closest approximation.
They just gave him the Rocky trilogy and said, have fun.
It's like, this guy punching meat is your average human. Just act and sound like him.
So Raccoon was only pretending to be hurt when he was getting dick punched. And he power bombs Vegeta into the dirt. He then picks him up like a vegetable.
Oh, I get it.
And for his good joke, he gets blasted right in the face. And again, he lost most of his hair, but he seems no worse for the wear otherwise.
No actual damage.
And in there somewhere, we get some commentary from Jace? I don't know how you say
the
it.
The orange one?
Yeah, the one that is inexplicably Australian.
Just call him Cheese.
That Raccoon, he's just having a laugh.
He's having several laughs. Seven several hundred tiny laughs.
He just likes to have fun.
Raccoon starts charging up his eraser gun, which is what he calls a mouth beam.
Yeah, that's how you know he's evil, folks. Mouth beam.
Uh-huh.
I'll be honest, though. Eraser gun is a really cool name.
Yep. I think that's a good name.
It's kind of wasted on a mouth beam, honestly.
It is. I think it owns.
I like a good mouth beam. I think mouth beams are underutilized.
You and me both.
A mouth beam is a beam that you can use while tied up. Like, you need your hands free to Kamehameha. You don't to spit energy.
It's also almost omnidirectional.
Yeah, I mean, wherever you can get your mouth at, I guess.
That's Gordy's campaign promise. A mouth beam in every pot.
In every home across America.
Before Raccoon can get out the gun, Gohan rescues Vegeta, and Krillin kicks the back of Raccoon's head, which slams his mouth shut onto his own beam.
I looked at some frames from this, and it actually caused the beam to shoot out of his nose.
Yes, it did. A little bit. Like spaghetti.
You ever had pop come out of your nose?
Yeah.
It's probably like about 1,000 times worse than that.
It's a really good animation detail.
It's super great. He's going to be smelling burnt hair for weeks.
So Raccoon lost most of his teeth from this, which makes him pretty pissed at Krillin. So he wants to kill him too. In return for being able to kill everybody, he has to buy the rest of his team lunch for a week.
Is that just, you think that's just on like the ship mess hall or something?
I don't know where they eat, like if they go out for takeout or if there is
Space
a mess
Arby's.
Hall.
Maybe they got like a food truck Friday.
They go out for Tex-Mex.
$12, please. Thank you.
from the space truck. Mm-hmm. Krillin gets kicked once and claims to have broken every bone in his body.
Bone in his frame? Are you kidding me?
Have you seen Raccoon's leg? I believe him.
So, I guess it's pretty good that he got his boost from Guru, because otherwise he'd just be dead.
He would have turned into a fine orange mist.
Yeah, aren't you glad we went through that important plot point?
Yeah,
it was Krillin
great.
Getting this power boost.
It let Krillin survive. Boy, it'd be good if he had Zenkai boosts.
Yeah. Man, if Krillin dies on Namek, I'll just be heartbroken.
Instead, he's just a waste of time. So the episode ends with only Gohan standing.
I love these moments. With Gohan turns to Raccoon, and he's got what I call fuck him up Gohan moments. And you see a lot of these during the fight with, like, say, Nappa, Vegeta, back when we were fighting the Saiyans. But Gohan's got, like, the great rage going. You just want to watch him just tear someone's shop up.
Any other thoughts for 64?
I do have a note that after Gohan saves Vegeta in the Japanese, and in both, Vegeta's not particularly thankful of that.
Yes.
But in the Japanese, his line is, "Your softness makes me want to vomit."
Jesus Christ.
Wow. All right.
Moral outrage at being saved.
Episode 65, the English title is Let the Battle Begin.
The Japanese title roughly translates to Don't Die, Gohan! Goku, we finally arrived at the battlefield.
Who's talking?
I don't know. Us?
Who is with Goku?
The title seems very mistimed in its placement.
A bit.
So this episode begins with the narrator giving us a rundown of what happened last time. Gordy, do you want to point out the most important line?
I did not write down the actual line. I just have a reaction to it.
The line that we get is,
"And then the unthinkable, Krillin fell."
Narrator's missed a few episodes.
Like, unthinkable, huh?
If this is being narrated by adult Gohan, it is 100% sarcastic.
I'm on board with this theory.
Mm-hmm. It has a lot of weight to it, I think.
Wait, are we gonna start saying that this is like How I Met Your Mother, and adult Gohan has been narrating this whole time?
Oh, that,
yeah, I think
that's 100% the theory I have.
I forget what episode we brought it up, but it came up because it seemed to fit his voice, and also it's the same voice actor that later plays adult Gohan. So that's where our theory came from.
And then Krillin ain't shit in one kick. Surprising everyone.
Gohan tries some tricky acrobatics on Raccoon, but the big guy is unfazed by this. He's just still cackling, or chuckling, rather, mm-hmm. to himself. He catches a Masenko, but the other Ginyus are slightly impressed by Gohan's power, which shot up briefly to 20,000.
Yeah, that's, by the way, that's like Goku at like Kaioken times like 2 or something.
Mm-hmm.
during the Vegeta fight. So the fact that Gohan has already hit what it took Goku into his 20s and then dying and getting special training.
From God?
Yeah. To get, and Gohan's capping that at 5.
Because a big wrinkly slug touched him.
True. Unlocked his potential.
Gohan's such a good little steady boy.
He is.
He works so hard.
He's a blessed child.
It'd be shame if something happened to him.
He gets bashed around by just about every part of Raccoon, including his butt.
Oh, yeah.
And Chi-Chi's mom senses start tingling fiercely on Earth.
I had that exact note.
She's doing laundry, and then she's all like, oh, shit, Gohan, no! Apparently, Dr. Briefs has been working on a second space pod capsule just for her.
It's called the Capsule 2.
Because he knew.
I did, in my not having the full history of the Dragon Ball, and I guess she showed up before, but I did not know who the fuck Bulma's mom was when she popped around that corner. I'm just like, who is this woman?
The blonde sleepy lady?
Yeah. She does, in the Japanese, call Chi-Chi Goku-chan's wife. Is like, oh, the name that she calls her. Like, what's wrong, Goku-chan's wife?
They should probably know each other a little better than that.
That's weird. That's a little strange.
I don't think Chi-Chi's had any interaction with Bulma's family at all.
Good point.
Very limited.
I guess it shows a more... Yeah, that's her closeness to Goku. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm.
Chi-Chi hops on board and immediately takes off. Dr. Briefs...
I love this.
Chi-Chi is so fucking metal.
Normal-ass human mom will straight up just blast herself into space with an untested prototype ship, no questions asked, because she is here to save her son.
A little presumptuous to call her normal.
Well, normal in that she does not have flight or beams.
It's impressive that the ship knows how to interpret Chi-Chi's yelling.
She's been a hero to me ever since she came down those stairs with that full arsenal on her back.
Ready to fucking go.
Yeah. I think you will enjoy this miniature arc that she gets then. Because it's a lot of this. Dr. Briefs mentions that he did manage to get the cappuccino machine in this one. I assume it's the stereo system in Japanese.
He doesn't mention anything in the Japanese. Oh,
that's a shame.
Yeah, it's just an English tidbit. Just a
nod for the dubbing.
Just a dangling plot thread.
The ship crash lands almost immediately, though. So I have to assume that it's something wrong with the cappuccino machine.
That was the only change, yes.
It's the only variable between the
maybe
two ships.
It's like it's it overloaded a circuit. And so it's just too many things on at the same time.
Dr. Briefs did mention he put airbags in this one as it was falling.
That's helpful.
Yeah.
He figured Goku didn't need those. Or it was part of his plan, according to Jason. Ginyu brings all of the Dragon Balls to Frieza, who is ready to make his wish. So Ginyu performs the Dance of Joy.
Real quick, just to continue on this theme, Ginyu delivers the balls, and as it cuts, you hear him finishing, and that makes 7. Everyone's just really bad at visual counting.
I didn't catch that. That's really good. He puts them down one at a time just to make sure.
Yeah.
You know, quick thought on that. If I were delivering Dragon Balls to Frieza and he asked for 7, I would make dead sure that I was carrying 7 Dragon Balls.
That's
so
fair.
I do not blame him for that.
That's more of just just on receipt. Like, okay, you see this like I do, right?
Yeah,
just I need an audible confirmation that the mission is complete.
Yes. With 7 checkboxes.
I need a receipt.
You can look around on the various social medias, and it's making the rounds. This scene in the ocean dub is very good.
The Dance of Joy?
No. Because we've got the other old lady smoker who played Frieza in the ocean dub saying things like,
if you were a dog, I'd scratch your belly. If you were a cat, I'd give you warm milk until you started to purr. But since you're neither of these, I'll just say thanks for a job well done.
I guess that was easier than translating what he actually said. Just make stuff up.
Why do I remember that so vividly?
It's so good. Frieza specifically is like looming over them, and the shot where in the Funimation, there's a shot where he's kind of like running his hands over the Dragon Balls, and so it's like, it's time for me to make my wish. But in the Ocean Dub, he goes,
having these balls makes me feel something that resembles joy, I think. I want to caress them.
And just this drifting, creepy voice.
Oh, and that was his wish, and that's it.
Yeah. Done and done.
There's a flash of light, and there's just seven boulders right there.
Ah, shit!
Ginyu is doing the Dance of Joy, but Frieza respectfully asks him to stop.
Nor do you wish to die.
Now, did you cover previously, like, it is Ginyu, like Captain Ginyu, who kind of introduces this element into the group? Is everybody else as on board with this kind of stuff?
I mean, the Ginyu Force, absolutely, but I believe that it originates with him.
But you think the rest of them makes them up. The rest of them are like, they're happy to take up like all of the posing and like the ridiculous, like, I mean, that's joint what, entrances.
That's what suits them to the Ginyu Force. Yeah, it is a prerequisite to be on board with that.
Okay. Yeah,
that and their varying sizes and color coordination.
Yes.
Apparently also on the on whatever instruction booklet that we had that had like all the Ginyu Force's origin stories.
Uh-huh, from the Super Nintendo game.
Right, yeah. The one for Raccoon was he practiced dance and ballet as a child, which made him like really adept with battle poses, and that's why he was recruited. Which I do really love about Raccoon, because he does combine the grace of a ballet dancer with the force of, like, a pro wrestling superstar.
He is surprisingly graceful.
Did you see his kip up? He did, like, five flips.
So now we're left to wonder, is Frieza gonna get his wish? Nail is flying over to help the Earthos fight against the Ginyu Force.
Mm-hmm.
But then he decides he can't leave Guru, so he flies back.
Yeah, his guru senses are tingling in the same way that Chi-Chi's Gohan senses are tingling.
I mean, somebody needs to be on hand if they need to kill Guru suddenly to prevent Frieza from getting the wish.
Oh, jeez.
I mean,
that got macabre.
Nobody wants to talk about it, but it's an option.
I don't think that was his thought process, but it is a valid point.
It is not his thought process, but like in the moment, if it's like, Guru, you're gonna die in a couple days anyway. Do you want to? You want to just speed that up so Frieza's not immortal?
I believe Nail is a hard enough dude to pull that off.
You think he would? He would do what is necessary.
What needs to be done? Gohan is just about at the end of his rope, but is notably lasting longer than Krillin did, which is to say, more than one kick.
Yeah, made it through one at least.
Gohan gets his second wind. But it still seems like Raccoon is toying with him. Frieza tries to get his wish, but he isn't sure that they worked.
Someone kill him to be sure.
Yeah. Ginyu asks if he feels immortal, and he doesn't notice a change. So he gets a...
this is a great question.
An opportune flashback to one of the Namekians that he killed, who told him that even if he had all of the balls, there was no way he would get his wish. So he surmises it probably needs a password or a code to activate.
Frieza's like, oh man, that wasn't bullshit. I thought he was just yanking my tail because he knew he was about to die.
Gotta listen.
He needs to contact Namekian IT support.
He searches around for IT and he discovers Guru's house on his scouter.
That'll work.
Ginyu offers to go, but he decides to take matters into his own hands, and he leaves Ginyu to guard the Dragon Balls.
I'm probably dancing more.
You know, mm-hmm. if he did this from the start, things probably would have gone a lot differently.
Oh, yeah. Frieza's decided to stop delegating.
That's the rear view, though. We're only moving forward. Raccoon begins his flashy finale, which is a very long barrage of bright ki blasts. And Gohan can barely stand anymore, but he refuses to quit, even against Krillin's protests.
Krillin's really got a... Got a new lease on life and given up having died once.
Krillin's like, believe me, I've been there before. You don't want to get there any faster.
Raccoon promises to show Gohan his Raccoon Doom.
That's not as cool as the eraser gun.
It's all right, though.
Gohan launches himself at Raccoon, who dodges out of the way, and he kicks a six-year-old directly in the neck.
Also, with a really horrifyingly slowed down laugh track.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
That doesn't, it doesn't sound like he recorded a normal laugh and they slowed it digitally. It sounded like the voice actor went into the booth and, like, pretend
deliberately
you just are
did
laughing
it slowly
in slow motion.
Save us 20 seconds of extra work and just
try
laugh
to fake
slowly.
Yeah.
Gohan is now lying twitching on the ground.
Oh boy.
This Raccoon
is too
real.
Raccoon does not defeat Gohan. Raccoon fucks him up.
Yeah, the light is leaving
his
eyes.
Yeah. Yep. That was horrifying to watch. I don't remember it being that
gruesome.
Dire.
Oh, I do.
As a kid.
I remember this scene fucking me up as a kid.
Holy God.
Because, like, Gohan's a kid.
I was
a kid.
Kindergartner.
That could be me.
Just stay away from Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
How does this play out in the edited dub?
I think it's unchanged, honestly.
Like the only thing they don't change is the blood.
Right.
I mean, they do change it.
Yeah, they would just cover up the blood dripping out of his mouth, but the eyes and the twitching, all of that's the same.
Because they cut out, like, that entire Yamcha Cybermen fight.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay.
That's because Yamcha doesn't matter.
Aww.
Chi-Chi comes to and briefs his living room, and she is absolutely certain at this point that something terrible is happening to Gohan. And this episode ends with Goku's ship landing on Namek.
Hey.
Well, that's almost good timing. No, but for real, like, that's... I can't get over just how fucked up... Like, he's not even 10 years old.
Nope.
And, like, the scene we get in a little bit of, like, Goku holding his son, who is, like, borderline lifeless. Ugh.
I bet after seeing that, Krillin feels real bad about pretending to be beaten after one kick.
Yeah, Krillin. Step the fuck up, champ.
Oh, maybe I should have helped him out a little.
I mean, he'd probably just reiterate his earlier point.
I can't go into battle today. I got a doctor's note.
It says all my bones are broken. Doc says no fight.
I can't make it. I'm sick that day.
Episode 66, the English title is Goku's New Power.
The Japanese title roughly translates to Uncommon Strength. The legendary Super Saiyan is Son Goku.
Oh, that's a little premature.
No, it's not. It's Broly.
For who now?
Oh, shit.
He's not canon yet. We can't talk about him. Goku searches around Namek for power levels, and Gordy and I both laughed at this. He senses that telltale, almost dead power coming from Krillin.
Yep.
He says something.
I know it well.
Like, there's a power level next to zero, right?
Yeah.
It's like, that
must be Krillin.
That's Krillin.
I want to give a shout out to the voiceover Alexa in the capsule core ship. That was just like, please mind the gap as you exit the craft. Thank you for flying capsule core.
Who did Dr. Briefs get to do that?
The woman who plays Alexa, I guess. Not you. Sorry. There's one behind me and she heard
me. Oh, that's dangerous.
Goku does utter the that great line, not another moment to spare, and then continues monologuing.
Yep.
Continues sparing moments.
Except this next moment, which I will in fact spare. He rockets past the Ginyu Force to the aid of his son. He ignores Raccoon, and he feeds Gohan a Zenzubin. And the Ginyu Force are blown away at how fast the heroes are recovering.
Unbreaking a neck is just a bean away. Try Senzu.
He's like some kind of space Jesus. he touches them and they're healed.
Really forming that Christ allegory.
Well, they were playing the music. That was some holy ass music.
The music does get very dramatic around this point.
I will say that this is where we get a good close up look of Goku's new uniform, because it has changed.
Oh, you got some fashion?
The symbol on the back is no longer neither the Turtle Clan symbol nor the King Kai symbol.
Is it briefs?
No.
It's just it, a
literally. His symbol is just Go. Short for Goku, but it could also mean wisdom or enlightenment.
Hmm.
So I like the idea of Dr. Briefs is like, I know there's like some kind of a symbol or something on the back of Goku's clothes. I don't know what it is. I'll just write his name on all of his underwear, basically.
So he doesn't lose it.
Yeah.
But he ran out of room and he only got these first two letters.
He'll get it.
So here comes a weird thing.
Yeah?
Goku is a little confused as to why Vegeta is fighting against the Ginyu Force. Aren't they on the same side?
Yeah, he needs a bit of a refresher as to what's happening.
Yeah, so Krillin tries to explain, but Goku says, "Don't speak," and he puts a hand on Krillin's forehead.
Look, if you do enough sit-ups, that's what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, muscles let you read minds is what I wrote down.
He reads Krillin's mind, and they ask him, like, how did you do that, Goku? And he says it's a trick he picked up while training at 100 times gravity.
Proud Saiyan telepathy.
Now, we established that he is telekinetic.
We've established before, I think all Saiyans are psychic sensitive. They're just too dumb to realize it.
And he does, like, he does communicate with Gohan telepathically as well.
Yeah.
Once,
and also,
I think.
Vegeta and Nappa share a telepathic moment on the bug planet.
Right.
Yes, they do.
So it's really not weird that he can read his mind. It's just weird that this is the only time he does it.
Ever.
Yeah. I guess it's weird that they don't do it more often.
If not for those images flashing on the screen of the events that played out on Namek, like, as if to say this is what he's reading, I would just assume that he was making it up because he didn't want to talk to Krillin anymore.
It's like, no, Krillin, you be silent. I'll read your mind.
I'm just going to pick your brain.
Yeah, picking up a lot of memories here.
Okay, that makes total sense. Lie down again.
Cool, Vegeta's on our side. Great.
Yeah.
He just kind of glosses over the fact that Krillin was faking being injured.
Yeah.
I do like, before this happens, when Gohan is just kind of giving Goku a tour of the battlefield and telling him all of these things. When in the Japanese, I guess, when Goku asks where Krillin is or what happened to everybody,
yeah.
And Gohan tells him that Vegeta was beat up by the pineapple-headed one.
Burn.
Damn.
Gohan does have those sick burns. Mm-hmm. Goku tosses a bean over to Vegeta.
This is my new ringtone. It's Goku yelling, "Eat it, Vegeta!"
It's a good alert sound, yeah.
Rakum tries to catch it, but it goes through his teeth.
Yeah.
Vegeta is wondering why Goku is so calm in the face of the Ginyus. Could it be? And then we cut over to Chi-Chi. Chi-Chi and Briefs are radioing over to Bulma, who is cracking under the pressure of being on Namek still.
And Bulma reaches into her bag and pulls out the fifth radio she's brought to the planet that day. She's gonna have another one in her boot.
Bulma must always be prepared. Now, am I the only one that was, like, kind of weirded out over Chi-Chi and Bulma interacting?
Yeah, because you mean Chi-Chi and Bulma having consecutive panic attacks on each other? Yeah, a bit off-putting. I love how in this scene Dr. Briefs was telling Chi-Chi to calm down, which is really a mistake you only need to make once.
Yeah, Chi-Chi and Bulma don't really do too much interacting yet, anyway.
Not really.
Which is weird.
That's Goku's friend.
For, like, most of their lives.
Yeah.
Goku, back at the fight, claims that Rakum won't even be able to lay a hand on him.
This is the most threatening Goku has ever sounded. It's a little alarming. He's like, "You're not even gonna lay a hand on me."
Well, he's just very assured of it.
And then all Goku's friends just being like, That sounds like bullshit, but I know Goku doesn't bluff.
He's not smart enough to lie.
Right, right.
For reference,
yeah.
Since I assume this card game was well researched,
that's safe to assume.
I have a Goku character card and a Jace character card. Goku's the form we're at would be the Energy Gatherer, because we have not yet hit the thing that Vegeta alludes to. So Goku's max power, according to this card, is 900,000.
Pretty good.
At this stage, and Jace's max power is 65,000.
Bit of a difference.
No, but
again, I assume this is correct. Otherwise, why would it be in the game?
They definitely did their research.
As Gordy just mentioned, Vegeta thinks Kakarot might be a Super Saiyan.
What?
What is that?
Well, apparently, there's a thing called the Legendary Super Saiyan. It was a space warrior who had no equal in the entire universe. But he could only maintain that terrible power in the ape form. So that means I hate him. And evidently, he was consumed by his own power. And there hasn't been one for over 1,000 years.
Yeah. That's so long.
It's weird that he mentions the Super Saiyan and not the Super Saiyan God.
Yeah, that is weird.
Are they the same person? No.
Couldn't be. So Goku now has blistering speed, and no one but Vegeta is able to track his movements. Goku gives the Ginyus the option to leave the planet unless they want to deal with him.
Real quick, I do like that Krillin is like, oh, I don't know where Goku is, and then immediately looks at Vegeta.
He does.
Because he knows.
That fucker does.
Yep.
Raccoon is getting annoyed that Goku is just speedy. He says, like, speed's not going to be all you need to take me down. I'm just going to blow up this whole area and get rid of you. He starts powering up real big, crackling lightning and all that stuff, as we have seen. But before he gets the attack off, Goku elbows Raccoon in the guts, or maybe the dick. Not sure.
Wherever.
It's a nebulous area.
So there's a lot of Raccoon.
And that drops Raccoon to the ground.
Goku is the original One Punch Man.
Yeah, I think one of the lines is just, one punch! It's crazy! Yeah.
One punch! Yeah, and the episode ends with Vegeta being upset that he isn't a Super Saiyan.
I want to be it.
Why isn't it me? Why is it that guy?
Prince of all Saiyans.
I fucking hate that guy.
I have
like some peasant Saiyan scrub.
I have a special note here. That it's either this episode or the one right after that marks the edge of the rerun wall for a young Jason.
Holy
watching
shit.
Toonami. Because I remember every time,
Jason,
they got to this part.
That pain is real.
Are you feeling it? Every time they get to this part,
it's so
I
real.
Would tune in for the next episode, and what do I see? It's Raditz.
You
coming
see fucking
up to the
Raditz's
farmer.
Face.
Yep.
Because they ran out of episodes and they had to flip back around while they continue localizing or whatever was happening.
It was so many times.
I'm really mad. I'm really mad you reminded me that happened.
Yeah, I need to thresh up this pain still fresh and new after all these years of waiting. And like the point where that membrane finally broke and we get to see Goku fighting the rest of the Ginyus, I'm just like, yeah! The action's definitely gonna pick up now!
For sure.
Get really fast.
Any other closing thoughts for episode 66?
Hang in there, young Jason. We'll be there on the next.
If you're interested, the Japanese Ginyu Force does call Goku a trash bug.
That's pretty good.
What is the context of that?
What?
Like a dung beetle?
I mean, I guess. It was subtitled as trash bug, and I
trash bug.
Wasn't listening close enough to try and do my own translation on that. I just was entranced by those subtitle words that are in front of my eyes.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take it for sure. Well, if that is it for the episodes, that means it's time to hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
Jason, do you want to fill our friends in on what's been going on? What happened last time on Hail Satan?
The absolute complete nonsense.
just the last one.
Okay. Well, turns out the farmer from episode one that is still alive and is cyborging himself.
Slowly.
Slowly. Turns out his name is Sensu, and this is completely unrelated to the Sensu Bean.
His parents just like the sound of it.
Yeah, it just sounded cool. Mr. Satan made up some improv Jack and the Beanstalk style folktale involving a Sensu Beanstalk, starring Mart instead of Mark.
He was sold Zenzu beans by a fat samurai.
Yes.
For a Pepto-Bismol bird.
Is this a frame story now?
I suppose so.
He climbs a large beanstalk all the way up to visit God, stole all of his magic beans, and a blueprint for the dynamite kick.
Mm-hmm.
And Videl was just kind of humoring him this whole time.
We decided that because he defeated God by stealing all this stuff, he had to think of a cooler name than God. So he went with Satan.
That's a good creation myth. I like that.
And Videl was only half paying attention because she just wanted us to read detective novels. So what's going on Earth this week? Anybody have thoughts?
Videl probably finished that book, finally. She can move on to the second one in the series.
Do you think she reads a lot of Case Closed? That's where she got the idea to just be a kid detective.
She's just plagiarizing.
It has been going on forever.
Mm-hmm. Is it still going on?
Yeah.
Wow. Goodness. They cannot stop running into dead bodies over there.
Yeah, it's a rough time.
So, let's see. The Elsa Barbara evaded capture, right? Yeah. And Miss Pizza was arrested.
Miss Pizza?
No, not Miss Pizza. Wait.
Marsh was arrested.
I was confusing my bombshells. How do you think that shook out later? Like that visit to the prison they've just built.
Well, that's actually something that I wanted to bring up this time was what is going on over at Orange is the New Launch?
It's like when you have a supervillain and they need to have a special containment center to nullify their superpowers. Launch is just in a hypoallergenic bubble.
She's in a glass room with no dust.
With no dust.
It's like the holding facility they keep Magneto in at the end of X-Men.
So they have to sneak Pepper into something.
Oh, poor actual Launch, because she has no idea why she's in prison.
Yeah. I forget if we brought this up. Are the Launches aware of each other? Like, is it like United States of Launch over here?
Sort of.
I feel like we were kind of torn.
She's okay. Acknowledged the blue hair has acknowledged yellow hair before. Mm-hmm. And that when she wakes up, she sees, like, Roshi and them covered in bullets. And she's like, oh, no, I hope my other self didn't do this or whatever.
Okay, so she's aware of the Alter Launch.
Yeah, she just does not have memory of what she did.
So she wakes up in a prison and is probably just, it's happened before.
Yeah. It's like, what is it, Tuesday? All right. Here we go again.
And I always just assumed, like, Launch is like the Joker in that she gets arrested all the time. And they never show how she escapes. But it's a fact that she will escape.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Matt, you might have to help me with this, but who else can we put in this maximum security lady prison?
Oh, we gotta have
that she can meet up with.
I just drew a blank on her. Ranfan.
Ranfan is definitely Ranfan. In there.
Yeah,
they're good. Buds.
What'd she get arrested for?
Fucking public indecency.
Yeah. Mm.
Taking her clothes off in front of children.
You think that maybe
every time
she
gets in a fight, she takes her clothes off?
I was gonna say she's probably just walking around in the buck in the ruins of East City, going like anarchy, man, no rules. She's a naturalist.
Yeah.
What's the little orphan girl with the buttons?
Emmy?
That was the space orphan.
Yeah, I'm thinking of human orphans.
Oh, right.
From Orphan Island.
Chico?
Yes.
I
have a vision of this as a cross anime prison.
Okay.
But I don't know if that is something we want to inject into this narrative.
I don't know, man. Let's see where it goes. Open those floodgates.
Because I was going to say Valentine from Bebop.
Throw that spaghetti at the wall.
How's that stick?
Faye Valentine.
This is my Adult Swim fan fiction fantasy playing out right before me.
I can't think of that many.
Who's that in the cell next to us? Why, it's Winry. Hey, Winry.
I can't think of a whole lot of other DBZ characters that, like, should be in prison.
Should go to prison?
Yeah.
Especially specifically female.
Or who... Not many characters who a prison would hold for any length of time.
Right.
What about Arale? Arale Chan. She causes a lot of destruction.
Can a prison hold her?
Technically canon to DBZ.
That's from the Dr. Slump thing,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
The little purple-haired girl robot. They would try to contain her for a little bit, at least.
She would be a good excuse for how they escaped. And that she just decides to leave.
She like, seems to be like some kind of... Like, I know nothing about this character. I just kind of assumed her to be... this just manic trickster god popping in and out and doing whatever.
You are not far off.
Oh.
In that she's actually a robot.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, she can do whatever she wants.
She can literally, she can destroy the world with a finger.
The only other person I think to add to this, to build up her crime syndicate, because that's really what I'm after, is to give Launch and, I guess, Beelzebarber later a bigger... cast of characters to work with is going to be a deep cut that maybe Matt you will remember but probably nobody else. It's a woman from Dragon Ball named Hasky.
What?
I actually do not remember that one.
She is,
how's
she
the
is
name
a,
spelled?
Hasky.
Oh, those pants.
She's basically just other Launch.
Oh yeah,
I love her.
She is a filler character from the Red Ribbon Army saga.
Oh, yes, that's right. I do remember.
I need those
her
pants.
Now.
She's a lady thief that the Red Ribbon Army hires to steal Goku's Dragon Ball.
Do
it doesn't work out.
This.
God damn, her and Launch are definitely best friends now.
Yeah,
look
yeah. for sure.
This fashion.
She looks like she belongs in Cowboy Bebop.
She's like a she's like a cross between like a kid from Akira and like a Gatchaman.
She is how Faye Valentine gets into this universe.
I think
like she's the nexus.
By way of Hasky.
I think she's the result of Toriyama having just watched The Road Warrior.
Maybe.
Probably.
So they all bust out of prison, obviously.
Yeah.
Because Arale just does it.
I came up with a fun, like, Magneto gets metal snuck into prison way of doing it.
Oh, please.
Did you know that in some cases, you might be able to induce a sneeze if exposed to the shine of a bright light, let's
mm-hmm.
say a flashlight?
Mm-hmm.
So they check for pepper, but they didn't check for flashlights. Maybe Arale's got, like, one built into, like, her eye or something weird.
Probably.
I was about to suggest, can we just go through... the Ranma Half wiki and just look for every example of sneeze inducing antics.
So they flash a light at Launch.
Mm-hmm.
That changes her. Is that enough to break her out?
That's enough for her to cause a riot.
I mean, it was probably one of those things where she was just being polite of like, yeah, I guess I'll be here until she changed. And then she's not being polite anymore.
Big fan of this, like, Ocean's 11 crew of road dogs busting out of anime jail.
God, I want them to have, like, the most elaborate scheme, and it doesn't work, but then Arale just kind of walks out the door anyway.
Walks through a wall, and they just follow her.
Like, oh, well, there's also that, I guess.
So how do they meet up with Beelzebarber, and what is their next scheme?
Oh, shucks. Let me think.
The mayor thing didn't work out. What's the next big take?
Maybe they have to go for things that are not so much living and go for things that are like objects.
Sure.
Like money.
Or
artifacts.
Or balls?
Oh. Of
the
dragon balls.
That would be very... I like that.
They're, they like, hunt for something that doesn't exist anymore.
They don't know that.
That's true.
But Hasky, I love Hasky that, does actually. Know about the Dragon Balls because she was.
Yeah. I love that. Like,
and Launchwood as well.
Yeah, Hasky brings up an idea. It's like, we can get a wish. We can get anything we want. They know nothing about the Saiyans, nothing about Piccolo. It's just like, how about we go hunting for the Dragon Balls?
They have a lot more muscle now.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's their next scheme to keep them busy for a while is to look for the Dragon Balls.
Dragon Balls that don't exist.
Well, it'll keep Matt a travel.
This is still about Hercule, right?
It is. This one just happens to be about his wife.
Okay.
Look, not, and her not team of weirdos. Not every episode of Dragon Ball is about Goku.
That's true.
Yeah. We all need some filler.
It's built on the strength of the characters.
It is, it is.
And the characters we have is a sneezing woman, a lady thief, a robot girl, and a naked woman. Mm-hmm. Pretty good crew. Jason.
Yeah?
I think that means it's time for your segment.
Whew, it's time to cool off. What's your saying, guys?
Aquarius.
Libra.
I can't make up my mind. I'm a Libra.
Hey, no, come on.
I mean, I'm reading myself here. So, the thing is that some of these characters in Dragon Ball Z have canonical actual birthdays, which means they have signs, so... Mm-hmm. What better way to cap off the episodes than by flipping over to the horoscope section and reading off a little fortune for one of them and see if we can give them some words to grow on.
Sure. Who do we have this week?
Well, since it is a special occasion and a new fighter has entered the ring, uh-huh. I think it's appropriate to give some kind of reading to our good friend Goku. It's been a hot minute, I think.
Oh, Goku?
Yeah.
The star
What's
of the
Goku
show.
Sign?
That boy. His birthday was on April 16th, so that would make him an Aries.
Have we ever read for Goku?
I think we have. Maybe.
Okay.
I'm an Aries.
It's good enough for me.
I'm a Goku, you guys.
You're a Goku? You're the hero of the podcast.
Yes. So in the next episode of Sailor Moon.
So, Goku, these are your words of wisdom. Your responsibilities may require a temporary separation from a love partner, Goku. This is sure to be upsetting and rather disheartening, but there's really nothing you can do about it except work as quickly as you can and as hard as you can so that you can finish your task and get back to the one you love. Make sure they know what's going on, though. You don't want to cause any more hard feelings.
Is it talking about... Is it talking about Gohan or Vegeta?
Interesting.
I think it's talking about food.
meals.
The Dark Horse candidate.
Gotta go back to Earth, because food.
Holy shit, I had never even considered that. Goku would hate Planet Namek. There's no food on it.
Oh,
there's
God,
nothing
yeah.
here.
They don't eat, they just drink water. It's a prison planet.
Just... Yeah, that's the prison they would put Goku on to nullify his powers.
And what's worse, there's only like two people left on the planet, so he has no one to fight.
I thought you were going to go way darker. He's going
to
be like,
there's
so
no
that's like meals
eat.
For like a week, maybe. If that.
And one of them's expired.
Well, thank you all for listening. I appreciate everyone who tunes in every week.
Thank you.
Jason, yep. Where on the internet can your content be found?
You can find me on Twitter and Tumblr, and the name for both is JCalves. That's JAYCALVES.
Melissa, how about yourself?
Mostly on Twitter, sometimes Instagram and Tumblr. All of those as Kristaia, KRISTAIA.
And Matt?
You can find me on Twitter at MonumentousMatt, or any other social media at DefineProg.
PROG.
Yeah,
don't define the city.
don't look at definition of the word Prague.
That's a weird way to advertise yourself. You can find me at the definition of Prague.
It's a philosophical address.
Yeah.
I'm Gordy,
just so progressive.
Gordy, how about you?
You can find me on Twitter at Gordon Murphy DEV, and you can hear Tyler and I talk about weird fairy tales and folklore and stuff on our other podcast, What the Folklore.
And if you want to contact this show, you can do so on Twitter at destructo_disc, DISC, or you can email us at destructodiscourse@gmail.com, or you could tell us how you feel about the show by giving us a rating and a review on iTunes. And if you want to tell me that you like the show, just hit the 4-star button.
But Tyler, why not the 5-star? Isn't that the maximum?
There's a whole nother
Jason,
star.
Gordy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Matt.
Huh?
Melissa.
Yeah.
Y'all listening?
Yeah.
No.
As close as I can.
Fuck the 5-star button.
Get out of here.
hit the 4-star button. That's for the Gohan ball. It's like a Dragon Ball thing.
Yeah.
Dragon Ball
It's like
thing.
A running, continuous thing.
Yeah. From the hit anime, Dragon Ball Z.
We humbly request the Gohan.
And I have checked, and we do have a 4-star overall rating, which I'm very True. Pleased with.
True fans.
Based on so how many up. Reviews?
11.
Okay.
That's not bad.
That's yeah. enough. Yeah. That's enough, like, to mean something to statistically.
Thanks, yeah. everybody.
Thank you. Give us the Gohan.
Ooh, and also, if you want to look at, like, visual representations of this whole, like, Hell Satan thing that we've
oh,
been
right.
doing.
Oh, yeah!
Check out the Twitter. That's where we've been posting them, and there should be about 5 episodes by now.
Yeah, you've been drawing comic interpretations of our Hail Satan nonsense, and they are fantastic.
They've been really fun to make, too.
It is much appreciated. Thank you all for listening. We will see you next week. This has been Destructo Discourse. If the road ahead you seem so cold and gray, when night never turns to day, don't you be afraid, you'll fly away. Chala, chala, no time to